Well, God bless you and welcome to session two of The Battle for Your Mind. The Battle for Your Mind. And truly, that is where the battle rages in this world. If the Bible is right in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual realm," which we're going to cover later. "For truly, we wrestle in our mind, we wrestle in our thoughts with spiritual dimensions that the Bible addresses. And if we don't understand what's attacking us, if we don't understand what God taught us about our thought life, our minds, our thinking, if we don't understand it and get a handle on it, then we are just shooting BBs at battleships. We're just putting band-aids on things. We're not addressing the core issues of what is breaking down people's minds today. And I don't think we need much debate about that, do we? That people are not coping with life and the stress and the pressure of life very well. And I'm talking to God's people. I'm not talking to the world. I understand the world meltdown. But the Bible and God's people, if the Bible's right, and that's all I'm basing my life on, is what the Word of God teaches. The Bible says if we learn how to abide in the vine, abide in Jesus Christ, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and many other things. I don't want to get into it all this morning right now. So truly, we don't have to succumb to the pressures and stresses and the meltdown in our minds like many in the world are suffering today. If we guard our minds with the Word of God, and that's what we're going to go into now. Remember in the last session, in Matthew chapter 6, and don't turn there because I'm not going there, we talked about Jesus Christ. We introduced the concept in Matthew 6 last time about Jesus Christ said, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And how the Western mind interprets that as meaning material things, and truly the application plays out that way. But the real essence from the Eastern culture from which the Bible was written in, the real essence of that word treasure to the Eastern mind was our thoughts. Our thoughts are our treasures. And we will see that play out throughout the whole Bible. But before we go into that, I want to go back to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. So turn there with me, please. Proverbs chapter 4. I want to put a little more meat on the bones of a concept that we introduced in the first session, Proverbs chapter 4. One of the great sections of Scripture in the Bible is in Proverbs chapter 4. And if we give heed to it, then we will receive eternal wisdom. And if we don't, we will pay the penalty. Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence." Watch over, another translation in the Hebrew for watch over is to guard. To guard your heart. And the word heart in the Hebrew represents your mind, your intellect, your thought process. Guard your thoughts, your thinking, your mind. This translation says, with all diligence. Another translation, which I like and checked it in the Hebrew and it's accurate. Another translation says, guard your heart or your mind above all else. Above everything else that you do, you must guard your thinking. You must guard what you're thinking about. Because as we're going to see, the thoughts are our treasures. And as we're going to cover a little later, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so we're going to cover that in a little while, but let's take a look at this verse again now, a little bit more. Watch over or guard over your heart, your mind, your thinking, with all diligence or above all else that you do. I would say the average person doesn't do that. I would say the average person lets life affect them, and they simply respond to what's happening around them rather than taking a proactive, aggressive stance of understanding that from Scripture, our thoughts are our treasures, and we are responsible to guard them biblically. And if we don't guard them, we are going to get overrun by the forces of this world, very contrary to God's will. Many things are happening to God's people today that are contrary to His will. I just talked to someone on the phone, a good brother of ours, and he told us that Tim LaHaye, who's written a lot of the books, came out and said that from a lot of the research he had been doing recently, that he believed that up to 70% of all physical illness started in the emotions and mind first. Does that sound familiar to something we've been teaching for a while? More and more medical research confirms it. The medical doctor, who's a wonderful dear friend of our ministry in Alabama, told us that she believed from her perception 90% of the physical breakdown in our bodies is caused from a mental breakdown first. Psychosomatic, psycho, mind affecting body, mind-body connection. Is that how God set it up? Absolutely. And we know that from Scripture. So if we guard our minds, how important is it to guard our thinking? What thoughts we think on? We're going to cover that in a minute. How do we guard them, though? How do we guard them? How do we guard our thinking? Let's go back up to the context in verse 20. But you see, and before we do, I want to just segue in from this. I heard a leading theologian on television the other day, and he said something that a lot of people believe and they swallow, and thus they get deceived by it. He said that the anointing covers it all. The anointing does it all for you. So in other words, God's Spirit will do the whole job for you. You don't have much role in the process. All you got to do is get the anointing, and the anointing will do the work for you. Okay? Is that prevalent in Christianity today? The answer is yes. Absolutely. Is that biblical? I will show you absolutely it is a lie. It's unbiblical. It's not based in truth. We have a role, God has a role. We have a purpose, God has a purpose. If we do what we're supposed to do, God does what He is supposed to do, and He does the biggest by far, but we have to cooperate in the process. Now, look how we're supposed to guard our minds. Go to verse 20. This is how God's people are supposed to guard their minds above everything else that they do. So what comes before this? Nothing. If this is what you're supposed to do above everything else, above all else, nothing precedes it. This is where it's got to be. Now watch this. Verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Now how many people spend the time in God's word that they should? How many people read the word of God? How many people think on the word of God? How many people meditate on the word of God? How many really give the attention to God's words that they should? In this fast-paced, hectic life that we get caught up in, full of stress and fast-paced, we often have precious little time to give attention to God's words. Would you agree? And so right away we have a problem. We're supposed to give attention to His words. Absolutely. Would you agree that that would mean that we're supposed to pay attention to what we're thinking about in our minds? What's going on in our thinking process? Absolutely, that's what we're talking about here. Give attention to my words. What else? Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Who's got to do all this? We do. It's our responsibility to not let God's word. So when fear or stress or worry or lusts or bitterness or anger or resentment or you name the plethora of challenges and temptations and sins that come our way, what are we supposed to do with those thoughts? Do we incubate them? Do we just give a lot of time on them? Do we think on them? Do we let them get a hold in our life? If we are, then we are doing exactly what God said. We are not, what does it say in verse 21? Here it is. We are letting them depart from our sight. We're not keeping them in the midst of our heart. Because what does God say to do regarding those things? He addresses them in His word. But if we think on these things and we allow them to dictate how we think, then we are letting God's word depart from our sight, and we are not keeping them in the midst of our heart. Are many physical illnesses and diseases rooted from this? The answer is yes. Simple as that. Yes. Like I said last time, I haven't read many places where it says a person had a disease because they had too much peace or too much joy. Right? But do we see about a lot of diseases rooted from not by letting God's word depart from our sight, by not keeping them in the midst of our heart? Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. And so we've got to just really understand what this is talking about. Then, of course, it says, they are life to those who find them, health to their whole body. Verse 23. Now we get to that great verse we just talked about. Guard your heart above everything else you do. What's the context? How are we supposed to guard our heart? By giving attention to his words, inclining our ear to his sayings, not letting them depart from our sight, keeping them in the midst of our heart. That's how we guard our thinking and our minds with truth. And what happens if we do that? Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them, and health, healing to how much of their body? Their whole body. All of it. Exactly. Now, as we covered before, why is it so important that we guard our heart with all diligence? Why? Where's it all going? Because the end of verse 23 is one of the great verses in the Bible. For from it, from your heart, flows the springs of life. From your heart flow the springs. Another translation said, a wellspring. It's a wellspring. A wellspring is a source of supply. It's a source of your outgoings in your life. Now, I want you to, I'm going to say something here, but I want to get your attention real strong on this, okay? The Bible does not say in this verse, God is the springs of your life. Hello? Did you hear me? It doesn't say God is the wellspring of your life. The Bible says your heart is. And if we don't understand that distinction, we are expecting God to do that which he said he isn't going to do. Many of God's people do not guard their thinking, and they expect God to do it all for them. And thus, what they're doing is they're saying God is the source and wellspring and outgoings of their life. But that's not what the Bible says. How many see what I'm saying here? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says your heart is the wellspring, the spring, the source of your life. That which supplies the direction your life goes in is determined by the condition and state of your heart, your thinking. So we don't guard our thinking, and we don't guard our thoughts with the Word of God, and we allow our minds to think all kinds of stuff, and all kinds of addictions and compulsions and lusts and bitterness and envy and fear and stress and jealousy and envy and hatred and resentment, and you go down the list, develop in us. No longer can God now do what he wants to do in our life until we understand it and repent of it. Because the Bible says your heart is the source and wellspring to your life. Not God directly. Now, as we're going to see, God works with your heart. But God gives us free will. God will not overstep your free will. And God will work with what you give him to work with. God works with our heart. Does he not? Absolutely. Now, I want to take this and let's keep going with this concept because it's, oh, is this critical to understand? This is why this pastor with this big guy on TV was saying, all you got to do is get the anointing. And the anointing does it all for you. In other words, the anointing, God's Spirit, is your source. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says your heart is. Now, what are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? Paul said when he came to the Corinthian church, hey, I wanted to come and give you meat, but I couldn't give it to you. I couldn't give you solid food because you're carnal. You're babes in Christ. You're not growing. You're not maturing. You're not controlling your thinking. You're not guarding your mind with my word. You're thinking carnally. You're thinking as children spiritually. And thus, I cannot give you. I am limited. Who is giving him that inspiration? God. Saying, I cannot give you what I wanted to give you. God can't work with that until it's understood and repented of. How many of God's people are disappointed with God, bitter with God, angry with God, hostile with God? Because life wasn't going like they thought, but they have God as their source, and they don't understand. God said, your heart is your source, and I will work with your heart. You've got to give me your heart. Boy, am I speaking to anyone this morning. This is major error in the body of Christ. I'm not making it up. It says it right here. So, now, if the enemy, through deception, can get God's people to not guard their thinking and guard their thoughts, by giving attention to God's words, inclining their ear to his sayings, keeping them in the midst of their sight, keeping God's word in the midst of their hearts, like the Bible says, listen to this, then unbiblical and sinful thought patterns develop, which make it impossible to abide in the vine, Jesus Christ. So why do you say that, Barry? That's pretty strong. Yes, it is pretty strong, but that's what the Bible teaches. Because what we have to do now to qualify that, which we're going to a little later, is show you what it means to abide in the vine. And if the Bible's right, and I'm just basing my life on what the Bible says, then if you allow unbiblical and sinful thought patterns to develop and run your life, and your whole personality is built around this, then you are not able to abide in the vine like God wants you to. And if you don't abide in the vine, you can't bear the fruit of the Spirit. Because only by abiding in the vine can you bear fruit. So the whole process breaks down if we don't guard our thinking. Where does envy? Where is envy? In your big toe? Where's jealousy? Where's unforgiveness? Where's resentment? Where's anger? Where's fear? Where's stress? Where's worry? Where's bitterness? Where are these things? They're in our mind. They're in our thoughts. They're in our thinking. Now watch. Watch where we're going with this. Now, let me just give you another example. I'm going to cover a few things this morning with you. But the principle holds true across the board. If the enemy can get our thoughts centered on thoughts and feelings. Now think of this as true in life with a lot of people. If the enemy can get our thoughts centered, because we're not guarding our minds like we should, not guarding our thoughts like we should. If the enemy can get our thoughts centered on thoughts and feelings of not liking ourselves, wishing we were somebody else, envying what others have. A lot of people suffer from feelings of self-hatred, feelings of rejection. Not accepting themselves, not accepting God's love, not accepting God's forgiveness, not believing what the Bible says about themselves. Do a lot of people suffer from these things today? The answer would be yes. Absolutely. What happens when these thoughts are not taken captive to the obedience of Christ? One of the primary verses in the Bible is, take your every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What happens if these thoughts are not taken captive to the obedience of Christ, like many people don't do? They carry these thoughts. I'm not worthy. I don't measure up. I don't deserve what God wants to give me. I'm not worthy. I don't like myself. It's kind of hard to love your neighbor when you don't like yourself. So these things, do people carry them around with them? Oh, yes. Oh, boy, do they ever. Do they ever. Are these thoughts biblical or unbiblical? They're unbiblical. What happens now if these thoughts aren't taken captive by God's people and they don't identify them as such and they don't realize that God is telling them to come into obedience in their thinking? Okay? What happens when people carry this around? These unbiblical thoughts build the state and condition of our heart. And a person's whole personality now develops around that heart. Think about it. Oh my, is this true? Oh, classic. Classic plays out in life like this exactly. If a person thinks this way about themselves, does their personality develop around that? Yes. Yes. What's happening now is the condition and state of their heart is being built. Built on what? Truth or error? Error. Now, what happens when we think consistently on something? What is the heart built of, as we covered in the first session? The heart is simply built upon a collection of thoughts. What we think about most builds the condition of our heart. So if we build our heart based on feelings of unworthiness, not liking ourselves, rejecting ourselves, not accepting God's acceptance, not accepting God's love, what happens now? Where's your heart? See, now what happens is a person's life and nature and personality is built all around what they think, because that's where their heart is. And what does the Bible say your heart is? The Bible says our heart is the wellspring of your life. It is the source and supply to your life. Now, what is sourcing and supplying our life? God, His Word, His truth, or those unbiblical thought processes we've been carrying around for years? Are you following this? Now, I want to tell you what happens to somebody who carries these thoughts in their mind. Very critical to understand this. Everything in life that they hear is filtered through that personality. And that includes God's Word. Everything they hear, including God's Word, is filtered through this stronghold in their personality, built on unbiblical thinking and thought processes. And everything they hear, I know people for years that absolutely have heard the Word of God. I mean, I could stand to my head and do somersaults for them. Tumbersaults, is it tumbersaults or somersault? I don't remember what it's called right now. But the bottom line is, what in the world? And they don't hear it. They don't hear the Word of God. They don't hear it. They still don't like themselves. They still reject themselves. They still feel unworthy. They don't feel like they deserve. And they've heard Bible upon Bible. What's happening? There's a filter. There's a filter on their heart. And it's blocking truth from getting in where God needs it to get. And so they have lots of information in their mind, but it doesn't get to their heart because there's a filter on it. Am I speaking to anyone here? And this is what happens. What's God? Now, what is the source? Now, think about this. If the heart is the wellspring or spring or source of our life and not God Himself directly, okay, then what is now supplying our life? That which the Bible says, we're going to cover a little later in Jeremiah 17, Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and sick and beyond help apart from God. So now that thing, the heart, which the Bible says is desperately wicked and desperately sick, sick unto death in the Hebrew, has now become the source and supply of how my life is. Can anyone see why a lot of people are suffering meltdown if this is true? The Bible says the mindset on the flesh, Romans chapter 8, verse 7. We're not turning there yet. Hold on. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the mindset on the flesh is death. It cannot please God. What do you call that mindset we just talked about? Would that be a mindset on the flesh or a mindset on truth? It's a mindset on the flesh. It cannot please God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so, the Bible says in Romans 8. Because that God will allow your heart to be the source and determinant of where your life is supplied from. God will allow that to happen. He gives man free will. So how important is it to understand this? Oh, I don't know. I think it's real important. So what are we talking about? We have to learn how to guard our thinking. We have to learn how to think on God's words. Think on God's truth. And discipline our minds to take thoughts captive and recognize them quickly when they're not from God. And if we don't, that's our free will and that's our choice, and God will allow it to be our choice. Our day of judgment is not on this earth today. There'll be a day coming when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians says, 5, 10, 11. That day is not now. The day of reckoning and accountability will be at that day, not now. Now we have free will and we can choose. But if we don't learn how to discipline our thoughts and our minds and build the state and condition of our heart based on biblical truth, then we have bought a lie. And we are in a place, as we're going to show you in a little while, God can't work with that heart now. God can't work with that heart like he wants to. There's a filter on it. And I have known so many people over the years who I have taught so much Bible, have sat and heard the Word of God taught, and it just couldn't get through them. They couldn't get in it because there was a filter on, and it just scrambled all the information that they heard, so it didn't get in their heart. Lots of it in their head, but never got here. And it's got to get here because here is the source and supply of our life. Are you all following this? So what a person has done when they have feelings of unworthiness and they don't like themselves and they wish they were someone else, they envy what others have. Envy, or you name it. What happens now with this is people have unknowingly entered into an agreement in their thought process with their enemy. They're not in agreement with God and what God says about them. They're agreeing with what their accuser says they are. Because the Bible says Satan is the accuser of the who, brethren? You're in agreement with your accuser. You're not in agreement with God anymore. And now the seeds of your mental breakdown and your physical breakdown have been sown. And so what's the enemy going to do? Wow, that's what he wants to happen, is it not? Sure, he comes to steal and kill and destroy. He's going to orchestrate this earth to put more pressure on this earth so he can water those seeds and keep watering them and break people's minds down. But I want to tell you, stand on blood-bought ground. You have authority in Christ to take every thought captive. It was bought for you at the cross. You have the authority. You have the right. You have the mandate from your Heavenly Father to take those thoughts captive and build your heart on truth so God can work with that heart now and transform your life and change your life and renew your mind so that God's will can be proven through your life. That's how it works. That's how it works. So what has to happen? Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. But keep in mind what I said earlier. Very key concept. Very key concept. When you get saved, God does not suddenly replace your heart with himself as the wellspring of your life. Key concept here. The heart is the source and outgoings, literally in the Hebrew, the source and outgoings of your life. Not God directly. And if you're expecting God to do it all for you, and you're not doing your part, it ain't going to happen. We have a part. God has a part. And we will see that when we close this session with the mandate to Joshua, about to go into the promised land. One of the greatest, this is awesome stuff. Pretty significant event. Moses just died. And what is God's mandate to his man who's going to lead God's people out of Egypt and into the promised land? Well, who is going to lead him there? Joshua. What was God's instructions to Joshua? Had a lot to do with, you better guard your thinking and your mind with my word. We'll see that in just a little while, okay? So can you begin to see that it's important that you feed your thoughts, that your thoughts are biblical thoughts? You've got to line your thought life up with God's word. You've got to come into obedience in your mind and your thinking with scripture. And if you are constantly thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, oh, look what I did over here, you haven't forgiven, you haven't received God's forgiveness. Now, God has forgiven you, has he not? Oh, yes. But who hasn't forgiven themselves? The person. So what is that now in their thinking? Is that biblical thinking? No, it's unbiblical. Have we let God's word depart from our sight? Yes, we have. Have we kept it in the midst of the heart, our heart? No, we haven't. We've allowed other things to captivate our mind and our thinking. They all have to be subjugated. If you want to grow powerfully with God, then you've got to get your mind set in his truth and sanctified in his truth. If you're always thinking, I wish I was someone else, I don't deserve what God wants to give me, I wish I hadn't done what I've done, God really can't work with me, he knows what I'm like. Yeah, he does know what we're all like very well. But if that's what we're thinking about, do you not realize that those thoughts build your heart, and your heart is the source and supply route to your entire life? And until God gets that understood in a person. So what's the enemy come up with? Some wonderful inventions. Hey, revival's over here. And so people run like they just run in stampede fashion to where revival is. And what's revival? Well, just get the anointing, brother, and the anointing. And, of course, the anointing means you go on the floor in epileptic seizures and you roll on the floor and bark like dogs or laugh like crazy. And all of a sudden, the anointing revives you. And now, what's happened? Now, God is your source of everything and you have no role to play at all. That is not scripture. That is not the word of God. And I promise you, if you follow this out into these people's lives, you will never see long-term fruit from it. Never. Never. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So remember this. This is so important. For out of the heart is the springs of life. Out of the heart is the source of your life. Out of your heart is the wellspring of your life. Your whole personality is formed around the condition and state of your heart. If you have feelings of inferiority, then your heart is sourcing that to you. You've made your heart the source. Your heart is the source. And if you think on those thoughts, your heart will just keep giving you that material. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. We said this before, but I want you to read it with me. Verse 6, we'll start out. The mindset on the flesh is death. What is a mindset on the flesh? Would a mindset on the flesh be what we were just talking about? Absolutely. A mindset on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the Spirit, who's got to determine that? Who determines if we have a mindset on the Spirit, God or us? That's our job. A mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Thank God. Verse 7. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile. Or enmity, if you have a King James. Enmity, I believe, or enemies, or enmity, or hostile toward who? God. Why? It does not subject itself to the law of God. In other words, those thought processes, not taken captive by us, are contrary to his word, contrary to his will, and they are just going to eat you alive. They do not subject themselves to the law of God. They're not even able to do so. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. What's God looking for? One of my favorite verses in the Word of God, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, just sums up so much in one verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. What kind of heart can God work with? What's God looking for? Perfect people? Forget it. He couldn't find one. What's he looking for? Someone whose heart is perfect toward him. Someone whose heart is submitted to him. Someone who's seeking him. Someone who wants him deep in their life. Look at 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his, or perfect toward him, in the King James, I believe it says. Once again, look at that verse. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. What's he looking for? What does he want to do? He wants to strongly support those whose heart. See, he just can't randomly, you know, oh, okay, I'm going to pick this person, and I'm going to just give him my spirit, and that's going to take over him, and he's just going to do everything. No, 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 no. God's looking for someone whose heart is fully his, whose heart is submitted to him. What does God want to do with those people? He wants to strongly work through them, strongly empower them, strongly support them by his spirit. That's the kind of heart God's looking for. Is your heart completely his? Is your heart submitted to truth? Is your heart submitted to learning the word of God and getting it inside of you and giving attention to it in your life? That's what God's looking for. But what does he want to do with those people? Oh, when he finds someone like this, now his will can just work right through their life. Now he can strongly support them. Now he can empower them. Now he can transform them and change their life. You see, we have to learn how to come into agreement with our God in our thinking and our thought processes if we want to be blessed by our Father. Because Galatians, don't turn there, but it says a great verse in Galatians 6, as we covered in many other places. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh shall from that flesh reap corruption. Would you not agree that thinking unbiblical, sinful thought processes, holding them on that are contrary to his word, holding them and harboring them in our heart and building our heart on that, would you not agree that is sowing to your flesh? What else can God do but give you what you're doing? That's how he set the program up. If you sow to your flesh, you'll reap from your flesh corruption. Is it God's will? Never. Never. So many things are happening to God's people that is contrary to his will today. Oh my goodness. One of the worst things that's taught out there is that everything that's happening is God's will. What? Oh my goodness. God wills all men to be saved. Do all men get saved? No. God wills all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. Do all men who get saved come unto a knowledge of the truth? No. Is it God's will? Yes. Does God always get his will? No. Are you telling me it's God's will when Paul came to the Corinthian church and said, I wanted to give you solid food, but I couldn't give it to you? Why? Because you're carnal? Was it God's will they were carnal? No. Many things are happening to God's people, totally contrary to God's will. If you just get on board in your thinking and in your mind with the Word of God and get truth in your thinking, your life will change. Because God works with what you put in that mind and in that heart. That's what God works with. How do I know that? Go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 17. Great, great truth here. Great truth in the Bible. Great, great truth in this word right here. And is this true in the New Covenant as well? Oh, absolutely. We're going to get there in Hebrews chapter 3. It says the same thing. Same concept. But notice here, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. Do a lot of people trust in mankind today rather than God? Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his, if you have a King James, I believe it says arm. I like this translation. I think it brings out the Hebrew understanding of it better. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. And makes flesh his strength. What does it mean to make flesh our strength? I want to get it real practical to you now. What does it mean to make flesh your strength? Whatever, now listen to this, very, very important to understand. Whatever we turn to and lean on and rely on in life is what we are making our strength. Okay? Whatever we are turning to and leaning on and relying on is what we are making our strength. Now, do a lot of people, God's people, rely and lean on and turn to fleshly things rather than their God and make that their strength? Oh boy, does it ever. And in the next part of this session, I'm going to get into this and show you how fear and stress and worry and anxiety is making flesh your strength. I'll prove it to you clear as the nose on your face, right from the Word of God. Fear, stress, and worry, and anxiety is making flesh what you're leaning on, what you're turning to, what you're relying on. That's right. And what happens to God's people when that happens? I didn't write this. He did. If you don't like it, talk to him about it. But look what it says. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. What happens when God's people make fleshly things what they lean on and turn to and depend on rather than God? What happens to their heart? We're talking about the heart being the source and wellspring of your life. What happens to that person's heart? Well, God's going to work with it anyway, you know, because God just does what he wants to do. He's random, he's arbitrary, and he'll just do whatever he wants to do anyway. Right? No, it's not what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. And whose heart turns away from the Lord. See, I believe a lot of God's people have unknowingly turned away from the Lord in their heart by deception. It's not that they wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to depart my heart. I want my heart to depart from God today. No, that's not how it works. But how easy it is for us to start leaning and depending and turning to all kinds of things in life to help us get by, to help us cope with life, to help us survive the pressures of life. We turn to these things. We're making flesh our strength. And when we do that, our heart is departing from the Lord. And when your heart departs from the Lord, that's another way of God saying, now that heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately sick has become the source of your life. And you're going to receive from what it gives. And all it can give is that which it is. And that which it is wicked and depraved. And so what happens to a lot of God's people? They're getting chewed alive. They're getting beat up. They're getting hurt. They're getting tormented. They're getting vexed by this world. Totally contrary to what God wants. Their heart has departed from the Lord. They didn't consciously do it. It happened subtly by sin. And so in the next segment of this class, we'll cover that. God bless you.